escape.
Well, Hannah, I started this book because a few years ago, I was working for a bankruptcy law firm. And this young lady came into our office, and I'm basically the one to talk to all of our clients for the first time.
Yeah.
To find out where their hurt is. Well, she was very happy because she was going to bankrupt on her $220,000. Now, she got that $220,000 to become a high school guidance counselor. So it was her part of her undergraduate program and her master's program. So she was very happy. But then I sat down with her and I says, do you realize that you cannot ever bankrupt on a student loan? And her countenance just dropped. She almost looked like death warmed over. Even more, we figured out the math and we figured out that her starting salary of $42,000 wasn't going to be enough to help her pay her student loan payment, which was going to be about $2,300 monthly.
Wow.
Monthly. So wow. The sad part about all of this is that here she was trained to be a high school guidance counselor. And yet she didn't even know in all of her training that she can't bankrupt on a debt. So I went and wrote a white paper for our clients on the nation's student debt debacle. Mm-hmm. To use it as a warning platform. But then I thought, well, wouldn't there be other opportunities out there besides college that our kids can get involved in? Because understand, Hannah, for most of our lives and our parents' lives and our grandparents' lives, they were all told the very same thing from a high school guidance counselor. Mm-hmm. If you fail to go to college, you will not achieve the American dream. Mm-hmm. In fact, you will be considered a deadbeat if you do anything else other than. And it was a lie. It was a huge lie. But the colleges did a very good PR to promote the college experience by downcasting the trade professions. And now we have trade professions that are all the master trade professionals are now retiring. But we don't have anyone filling their places. And if you don't believe me, just ask a plumber. Try to get a plumber anytime soon. They're booked up like crazy because there's just so few that are in there. So I found a virtual encyclopedia of opportunities of training, career training opportunities that are offered outside the college arena. And it blew my mind away. In fact, college is of no value to 85% of our nation's workforce. Let that sink in for a moment. 85% of our workforce will not have a college degree. In fact, out of 100 students who are accepted into college, 50 of them are going to drop out. And of the 50 who do graduate, 30 of them will end up in jobs they would have gotten straight out of high school. Or they can basically get on their own skills that they learn in high school. So I'm saying to mom and dad, look, you better be awake and see what's going on here because... Well, for example, I saw, Hannah, an interesting stat the other day. And it says that the United States is now home to 115,000 janitors, 16,000 parking lot attendants, 83,000 bartenders, and 35,000 Uber or taxi drivers. And they all have one thing in common. They all have a college degree. Which tells us that our kids are going in there so unprepared for this experience. Matter of fact, when they go on campus, the majority of them are undeclared. They haven't picked a major, and they haven't because they don't see anything that catches their passion, that catches their eye. And so they're in this kind of limbo for the first 2 years of their college experience. And then when their junior year comes up, they have to declare their major. And so they frantically pick something so they can graduate 2 or 4 years down the road, because typically now it takes 6 years to finish a college degree for 57% of our college students. So it's a long time. And they come out and they have really no job skills and they don't really like the profession. Because they were stuck. Understand, Hannah, the typical university offers only 85 majors. Mm-hmm. That's it. Just 85 careers to choose from. Yet there are over 30,000 careers out there that are all completely different and unique. And this is the point of my book, 100% Success Without College. It's telling your parents your children are unique and they don't have to be defined by this small little encapsulation of majors that are out there, which, by the way, the majority of them don't provide job skills. Think of it this way. Think of 50 trade school programs and 50 apprenticeship programs. Every single one of those programs at the end of the experience will provide a job skill, a powerful job skill for that graduate. They'll either have plumbing skills, electronic skills, banking skills, because there are white-collar apprenticeships. They will have skills that will set them apart from a college graduate, because if you think of 50 majors, college majors, excuse me, how many of them provide a real job skill? Out of 50, count them. You can't. So that's the purpose of my book.
Yep. I completely get that. Like I said, 23, I'm a college student. I still haven't finished my degree. I got one, like I said, four classes left, but going into college, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Like you said, I was undeclared. I thought I wanted to do sciences because I love sciences. And then by the time, like I said, I'm a senior, like I changed my or junior, like I've changed my major like five times. Cause I mean, I just like doing a lot of different things, just like a lot of young people. It's like, we kind of, you know, see what we like, see what we don't. It's like, it sometimes takes a while to figure that. But while you're doing it, a lot of students are getting into student loan debt by just kind of trying to figure out what they want to do because they've been told you need a college degree when in fact, like you said, a lot of them for the most part don't. And I've actually thought that for years, even before I went to college, because I'm like, unless you're going to be like a doctor, a lawyer, or a few professions where you actually need all that kind of like book knowledge, a lot of them, you just kind of learn on the job. Like we've been learning on the job as humans for thousands of years, like through civilizations.
Well, yeah, you've got to understand right now, college, basically the time a student spends in research and study hours has declined over the last couple of decades by 50%. Mm-hmm. 50%. And the reason being is that these college professors and their administrators are not that dumb. They realize they have to give a great experience to the college students so that they will continue to pay these outrageous debts, which, by the way, the tuitions right now have increased by about 2,700% on some instances, which is five times the rate of inflation. So you've got these horrendous tuitions you're paying for. And so they've got to give these students a reason to stay. And so they're giving them less responsibility than their grandfathers had, and maybe even their fathers had, for homework assignments and everything else. On top of that, the number one grade given out right now is the letter A. They're all basically getting A's. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of, and then they create this campus culture where it's okay to binge drink, where it's okay to get involved in sexual relationships, except if you're a young man, you might get hurt hard by these on-campus, star chambers, these court systems that are run by professors, where a young man's college experience and character and everything can be easily destroyed on just by he said, she said arenas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so our sons are really getting killed in these arenas out there.
Yep.
So I'm saying, look, you better wake up, mom and dad, because right now the Harvard Business Review came out. They said that 53% of all college graduates will not apply to an entry level job position in their field of study because they feel unqualified. They don't have the required skills that are listed in the job description. They're just, and so there they go. They have all this debt, and that's basically all that college is now giving to our students. They come out with a loss of faith. Yeah. They have a loss of love for their country. They have a mountain of debt, and they have no job skills. And these are facts. Mm-hmm. 36% of students who get on campus and graduate will have the exact same skills and the exact same knowledge, pretty much the same knowledge and same skills they had when they came on campus as freshmen. That's a third of our graduates have the same skills, same knowledge that they had when they came on campus. So it's a sham. And on top of that, like I said, our kids are losing their faith in God. They're losing their faith in their country, and they're becoming extremely militant. Just the other day, I was watching a YouTube video of Senator Ted Cruz. Mm-hmm. He was speaking to Yale students, and he was involved in a discussion group. And they came to question and answer period. And this young lady stood up, a Yale student, and she said, she didn't ask a question, she made a declaration. She said to Ted Cruz that, you know, for the questions you ask Judge Jackson, it proved that you were a racist. And that's the only language they now have.
Yeah.
They don't have an argument, but they do have the capability of saying you are hateful, therefore you are a racist. Of course, Ted Cruz kind of cut her down a little bit by saying every question I asked her was in relationships to her judgments and relationships to her professional writings. And there wasn't anything in that that can be considered racist, other than you want to make it so because she was white and she was black and she was a woman.
Yeah.
And this is what the thought police on campuses have done. These professors, they turn these kids to the extent that they have so much hate in their heart, and they justify the hate by saying that you are the hater, therefore I don't have to debate you. It's a very, very slippery slope these kids are getting into. And this is what your kids are going to get into if they go to college. And I'm saying, Mom and Dad, why? When in actuality, you've got 30,000 careers to choose from that are very fruitful. And there's no debt, much debt involved in them. And not only that, you're not taught to hate your country. You still love it when you're a diesel mechanic. All that you're learning at that school is how to be a diesel mechanic. I've never once read in a newspaper, Hannah, where a group of diesel mechanics walked out of the school in protest for transgender rights or something to that extent. They just don't do that. They're going there to learn a skill.
Yeah, I know. But see how, like, the trade laborers, like you were talking about, mechanics, like plumbers, have been demonized in like TV and movies, of course, by Hollywood and even by people in, you know, power out here. But those have been, you know, looked down upon because, oh, you don't want to do that. You want to get a college degree so you can be up here. When in reality, work is work. Everybody likes doing something different. And it's okay. If you like plumbing, if you like working on computers, that's great. It's like, because we're all made different. That's why God makes us different. So that way we can all do different things. If we were all doctors, well, I don't think it'd take long for society to crumble if nothing would happen because everybody was all doctors.
Well, it's like the old adage, if we all sang the same note, we wouldn't have any harmony.
Oh, I've not heard that. That's good. I like that.
Isn't that good? I just made it up. No, I didn't, but I'd like to think I did. But that's the point. It's to say, look, here are all these opportunities that are out there. For example, my wife has a dear friend whose son went to a plumbing apprenticeship situation. And by the way, for your listeners, an apprenticeship is really great. Because in an apprenticeship, you have in-classroom experience, you have on-the-job experience, but for both, you're getting paid. And so this young man got a plumbing apprenticeship, cost him nothing. He was paid to learn on the job, learn the skill and everything else. And he worked at it for 3 years. And then he was hired for 3 years to continue to get his skill down set. After those 3 years, he went out on his own, started his own company. He's now about 32, 33 years old, and he's a millionaire.
Wow.
And the point I'm trying to make, mom and dad, is look, what we're doing to our kids is we're telling them to play in their youth and then work hard when they get older. But that's a problem, because those who are working hard when they get older, you find them working at Walmart. What I'm trying to say is, mom and dad, teach your kids to work hard in their youth, because by the time they get 32 or 35 or 36, they're now millionaires, and they can begin to do the things that they really want to do in a way of exploring the world. But we do it quite the opposite. In fact, the average 21-year-old male will have played 10,000 hours of video games. That's 3.4 years of their life. That's insane. And no wonder our young men are basically social misfits. They have been cast off to the side during the Hillary Clinton years, where they said it takes a village, but the village only include young women, not the young men. And they tried to turn the young women onto STEM subjects, and by pushing away the young men. Matter of fact, in my book, I have a section about your sons. It's a warning voice that they need to grow up, and they need to grow up quickly, because a majority of them are still living at home at their late 20s and early 30s. So again, the book is saying, here are these opportunities. And so we get into like trade schools, apprenticeship programs, getting a job right out of high school. And there are great paying jobs out there, Hannah. I went to a BMW dealership to get my car taken care of. And this young man who was working as the service advisor, and he looked very young. And I said, tell me your story. He said he started at BMW as a high school graduate washing cars. He washed cars, of all things. Well, he worked really hard. And then he was moved to the tire department. And then he was moved to another department. And then finally, he was moved to become a service advisor, earning $68,000 a year. And his associate, who also has a high school degree, was earning $80,000 because he's worked there a couple of years longer than he had. So the job opportunities are vast. And I explore those opportunities in my book to say, mom and dad, you've got to guarantee two things for your kids to succeed in this way. That they have a command of the English language, that they can read well, write well, and speak well. They have to have it. And shoot, I had a footnote to that, but I'll get back to it. But they can read well, write well, and speak well. And that they have a strong work ethic, that they can outwork even their boss. If they can do so, they'll kill it in the workforce. But understand, right now, according to a report, the nation's report card, 71% of our high school graduates are not proficient in reading, writing, math, science, and U.S. history. In fact, compared to other students in other nations, our students academically are ranked 26th in the world, 26th internationally. China's students, on the other hand, are ranked number one, yet China spends half for their children's education of what we spend on ours. So our teachers, who are also ranked 26th, of course, in our K through 12 experience, are doing a horrendous job. Do not thank them for their work. They are not doing a good work. And I know I'm probably going to be skewered for this, but I'm telling you, there's no reason for it. And I'll give you a reason why. Think of it this way. You've got homeschooling moms, and understand the majority of them, the overwhelming majority of homeschooling moms, do not have a teaching degree. They're just moms. Average everyday moms, and yet their students, their children are scoring in the upper 80th percentile in all the critical subjects on average. 80th percentile. Yet on the other hand, every single public school teacher has been trained in college to be a professional teacher. They have been trained to do this job, and yet their students score in the 50th percentile. So why is it that the amateur teacher, the homeschooling mom, is outperforming the professional teacher? Well, the professional teachers basically became useless. They're getting into CTR, they're getting into racism, diversity, equity, transgenderism. There are all these subjects that are so easy to hate because they feel like they're doing something for society. Mm-hmm. And they're turning our kids into haters rather than into being smart. Because it's easy to teach hate, but it's hard to teach a child to be smart. And that's the problem. And I'm telling parents, you better wake up. As I explained to them to keep their kids out of college, they should remove their kids from the public education system. I'm dead serious.
I know. I was homeschooled, so I always push it. And I'm like, I'm an advocate of it. And people who meet me, I am the farthest thing from a wallflower. And like I said, I'm a problem solver. I learn, like, you critical think, you learn how to do things on your own. I'm very proficient in the English language. Like I said, I'm not a quote one of these, you know, like weirdos in society, you know, can't do anything. I'm like, I'm out here. And I was telling you before we started, like a bunch of different projects and working on stuff. And I'm like, I'm kind of like becoming like a jack of all trades, and I'm going to try to be a master of all trades too. And so homeschooling is a great thing. And like you were saying, a lot of moms, they're just moms. A lot of them don't have, you know, these teaching degrees, but yet they do an awesome job at it. And because you don't need a degree to teach, because parents have been teaching their children ever since, like I said, ever since humanity started. So the fact that people would think that we need a degree to teach your child math, arithmetic, it's like, you need the books, but outside of that, you can kind of do it yourself. I mean, moms can pretty much do anything. So like, why can't they teach their kids? Why is it left to, like you were saying, these liberal people? And I see the videos of them. They've got the nose rings. They've got the spiky hair with like hot colors in it. And like I said, I'm not saying necessarily there's anything wrong with that, but that's not what you would normally think a teacher would look like. And also, these are the liberals who are talking with children about their genitals. And I'm like, we used to call those pedophiles, is what we would call them. Exactly. That's what we call them. Yep.
It's a mess out there, Hannah. And so I, again, it's a warning voice. The book serves as a warning voice. And then after it gives that warning voice to parents from the K through 12 experience in college and why they should get them out and keep them out, I then go into the other section of the book, which is what I call the land of milk and honey. And this is where I talk about the trade schools and the apprenticeships and the sales profession. And sales is huge, Hannah. You have a personality that would do wonderful in sales. And understand, sales is the highest paid profession in the world. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. This young man, he dropped out of high school, but he buys this bundle at wholesale of men's winter underwear, long johns. And he takes them up to the Pacific Northwest to sell them to lumberjacks. Well, he was great at sales. And he, you know this story.
No, I've not, but that's cool though. No, I was just saying that's cool.
So he sells these and he makes $1,500. He takes that $1,500 and moves himself to Washington, D.C., where he borrows another $1,500 to buy an A&W root beer franchise. Well, then he buys another franchise, mm-hmm. and then another franchise. And after 20 years of buying these franchises, he decides to buy a hotel. Then he buys another, and then another. And the name of this high school dropout, this underwear salesman, is John Marriott of the Marriott Hotels.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
That's how Marriott started. And these stories are all over in my book to say to mom and dad, look, John Marriott wasn't born by some parents who were endowed with alien attributes that just made them uber kids. Mm-hmm. They were just normal kids who started off as underwear salesmen. Yep. Or, for example, this father has four sons, and he started a college fund for all four of them. But when the two older sons became of age, they said, Dad, nah, we don't want to go to college. Let's start a business together. So they take the college funds out, and they did their homework, and they started a business. And then a number of years later, they have over 500 franchises across the country. And the name of this business is Five Guys, Five Guys Restaurants.
Cool.
Four sons, one father, Five Guys. But it all started.
I get it now. Okay.
Yeah, you get it now. But they started with the college funds. Mm-hmm. So entrepreneuring is a wonderful way to get out there. And again, you have to have a command of the English language. And of course, then you have to have business acumen. You've got to know what you're doing. But you can do well. I, for example, about 3 or 4 years ago, was in a store and I saw this compass. And I thought, you know, God is my true guide and my true north. And I thought, what if I took the letter N off the top of the compass face, take it out, and replace it with the word God, as God is our guide and true north. And that's what I called it, is the God is my guide compass. Well, I made, and it was made out of brass and with a beveled glass, very elegant, with a stand, and I test marketed it. People bought it like crazy. Well, since then, I've sold about 20,000 of them on Amazon. It was just a small little idea. And this is what entrepreneuring is all about. So I can say you can make a fortune off an entrepreneur. And then you can get into the trade schools. For example, where do our nation's professional baseball umpires come from? Does anybody know? Well, maybe you have a kid that eats and drinks and dies for baseball, but he's not good enough to play the game professionally. But he could be still part of the game as serving the game as a professional umpire. But here's the deal. How can he become a professional umpire if he doesn't know that the training exists? And this is the purpose of my book, to say, here are all these wondrous training opportunities that are out there that are wonderful. And by the way, it's a myth to think that a college student graduate is going to earn more than a trade school student or a high school student. It's hogwash. These kids are making fortunes. I told you about the plumbing son. Mm-hmm. Did I tell you about that? Yes, yes. Yeah. So these kids are, I've done about 3 interviews today, Hannah.
No, you're good. But hey, I'm all for hearing stuff again. Like I said, these stories are great.
they're making fortunes out there. There's a young lady. She was about the age of 12 or 13, and she took her grandmother's lemonade recipe, which had a twang to it. Well, she's now 18, or maybe a little older, but when I did the story, she was about 18, and she had a company that was now worth $11 million. She started at the age of 12, and I think it's Bee's Knees Lemonade. Great story. All these stories are out there. There's a foundation out there that will pay your son or daughter $100,000 to skip college. But how can you take advantage of this foundation service if you don't know that the service exists? There are 3.5 million jobs right now that will go unfulfilled because we don't have enough trained technicians for just one field of expertise. That's cybersecurity. Starting our average earning of about $90,000. All these opportunities are out there. You just don't know that they exist because the high school guidance counselor put it into the hearts of our young men and women and into the hearts of our parents that if they didn't get a college degree, they would fail to get the American dream. And on top of that, they would be considered as deadbeats. And so everybody was afraid. And yet these deadbeats are now multimillionaires because they own heating and air conditioning companies, and they own plumbing companies, and they own other kinds of companies or entrepreneurs, or they're making a fortune off of sales. Tom Hopkins, who is a professional sales trainer, multimillionaire, he started off selling homes. But here's the deal. He was so poor that he couldn't afford to buy a suit. And yet his new boss said, you got to come to the job to the next day with a suit on. Guess what suit he came in? It was so poor. His suit was his high school band uniform. That's how he started off. But then he was very bad at selling homes. See, I think he sold one home his first year in the industry. But he found this sales training course, and he spent about all the money he had to take this course. And from it, he built a real estate empire. His last year as a real estate salesman, he sold 365 homes in 1 year, one for every single day. And then he transformed that sales ability into writing books and doing seminars. And this is, again, what sales can do for an individual. So I'm saying, look, mom and dad, keep your kids away from the college experience, because they're going to be involved in a lot of things that you don't want them to be involved in. You simply don't. I know of many universities that are now teaching pornography in the classroom, that they have when you come on campus, these booths where you sign up for workshops to learn how to get laid and still be a gentleman, to how to create threesomes, all kinds of stuff that's going on. On top of that, 49% of our college students are abusing alcohol. In fact, last year, 696,000 students, college students, were assaulted, physically assaulted by another student who had been drinking. And it's killing our kids. They're coming out and they're just so hooked on alcohol that they're not performing well in the workforce. So I can go on and on, but this is, again, the power and the nature of this book, which, by the way, there's no book like it in the country. Nobody is talking to that vast audience of the 85% who will not have any help from a college degree.
Yeah.
In fact, the college degree is so, I think I told you about that too, about 50. Anyhow.
That's all still good statistics though. I mean, it's just so true. And like you said, the American dream, it was never built on having a college degree, because for the hundreds of years, the American dream has been around. It's been on people taking risks and going out and doing things. Like I said, the reason the West was paid and the reason people went West, it wasn't because of no college degree, was because they had to actually go out there and then make the train tracks to get out there. The American dream was all about people going out and finding ways to do things better and to make things more efficient and to be creative. Because with entrepreneuring, because I love it, I know I have that entrepreneurial spirit. I'm already starting to get into a little bit more of it now. But it's like with entrepreneuring, there's creativity. Like the sky's the limit. And even if people, like you were saying, like trades, own your own plumbing or own your own plumbing place, or like your AC, like heating and AC, or your own like computer fixing business. Like there's so much for like owning your own businesses. The sky's the limit with entrepreneuring, because the creativity is just immense, and it just keeps your brain working. And that's why people love even working even after retirement. It's like they get to retire and enjoy, you know, but they're still continuing learning even up Absolutely. Until the day that they die. And that's the thing. You always want to continue learning up until the day that you go, like I said, for Christians, we go home to be with the Lord or whatever, until the day that you die, you want to always continue learning more and more. Cause that's what us as humans were made for, to continue learning and continue being creative. Yeah.
I have a section in my book called Massive Open Online Courses. They're huge. a lot of students, for example, say, well, you know, I want to go there to become a little bit more well-rounded. Well, you don't have to spend high tuitions to become well-rounded. You can go to these online courses, and there are tens of thousands of them out there that are taught by major universities for literally free or very, very small fees. So you can get remedial education, or you can get art, you can learn art history, you can learn all kinds of things. If you want to learn how to do pottery, there are tons of pottery courses that are on there, and you don't have to pay a tuition to learn them. So, a matter of fact, I perceive that within the next maybe 15 to 20 years, brick and mortar universities will almost be obsolete, because the technology and the advancements that are occurring now, it's not like 30 or 40 years ago where you might have something like WordPerfect come out, yeah, out of the clear blue sky, and then it gives you a new opportunity, a new industry. There are new opportunities and new industries almost being created weekly now. And the college universities, they don't have the apparatus to change on a dime, whereas community colleges do. In fact, here in Arizona, we have Apple, Boeing, Intel, and Cisco. They have all made alliances with 10 community colleges in our community. And these kids now are being taught the exact trades that they need, these companies need. And then when these kids graduate, they have a straight line into these businesses. And that's the future. Because again, you've got the college professor who has this curriculum design, and he doesn't want to go out and learn more. He's got tenure now. So he's basically teaching the same thing over and over and over again. And that's a disservice. I have so many stories of how these kids went into even computer science, and all what they learned is how to use Microsoft and so forth, or antiquated coding programs. And that's the problem with that. So mom and dad, once again, keep your kids out of college. And I think this is why I wrote the book, because it's so easy to be a guidance counselor to your young adults. You just open up the book and you read it, and you say, let's look at this, let's look at that, let's go here, let's test this out. Maybe your son or daughter needs a year to grow up, so I have a whole section on gap year, where they can learn more character skills, like going up to Alaska and canning salmon for a summer, or working for a summer making mountain trails, or working in volunteering at a facility that takes care of animals who have wounded in Florida. There are so many things to help these kids grow up, and they need to grow up, because again, remember, 71% of them are not proficient in the critical skills. So it teaches them. By the way, you can find the book at anythingbutcollege.com. Anythingbutcollege.com. That's our website. It's got a cute video to watch. You'll just love it.
And your website, whenever I upload this, I'm going to overlay it with your website. So your website is always going to be, it's going to, for the entirety of the interview, it's going to be under your name. So everybody will see the website they can go to.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I love that. I'm like, colleges, particularly for my generation, it's like, we need this. And for, and the new generations, you know, coming up, in like the public school systems, it's like, pull your kids out and put them like, I mean, make your own homeschool co-ops, like in communities, moms working together. Like one day they go to one house, one day they go to another. I'm like, there's so many things in the homeschooling industry.
Absolutely.
There's so many curriculums that you can do. So it's like, particularly this new generation, it's like homeschooling them, like letting them work, things like lemonade stands. I had a lemonade stand when I was like, I think 10 or something. It's like, you don't see that much anymore, but kids used to always do that. And like newspaper routes and stuff like that. It's like, it just can teaching them from a young age to work. Cause work Walt, is actually, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Walt Disney and his brother Roy had to deliver 3,000 newspapers every morning. One would deliver 1,500 and the other would deliver the other 1,500. They had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get this job done.
Wow.
And think of homeschooling is not that hard to be successful. For example, Abraham Lincoln had 1 year of formal education. Mark Twain had 1 year of formal education. But they were taught by a parent how to read well and write well and speak well. And from those tools, they became the giants that they were. And that's the point. It doesn't take 8 hours a day to do this, mom and dad. It's very, very easy, and it's not that complex. So there you have it. I have spoken.
I know, with homeschooling, that's why I tell everybody, I'm like, hey, look at me as the poster child for it. I can literally talk the ears off a stone statue. I can talk to anybody. I am the farthest thing from a wallflower. And I was homeschooled. That's just a lie by the deep state to keep people from homeschooling. And I'm like, homeschooling your kids is actually a great thing. And then they grow up. And like I said, I mean, most of them probably won't even want to go to college because they'll have already a lot of them, if you give them the opportunities in high school, like you said, entrepreneuring, you can start it in particular like middle school and stuff like small things like that girl you were saying, 12 years old, started her lemonade business then. And then now it's like worth $11 million as she's older and stuff. So you can start them on the path when they're young. And then a lot of them, like they'll probably just have their own businesses. And that's what the American dream is built on. Mom and pop businesses, people starting their own, paving their own way. That's what it's not been on, you know, these colleges and stuff. So I love it. I do.
Well, thank you. Well, it's been a pleasure, my friend. I appreciate it, Hannah.
I know. I've so much enjoyed having you on. I mean, I'm sure I'll probably have you back on again in the future. Cause I mean, I know the landscape of colleges are changing with like all the stuff that's happening. So I'm like, but it's been so great having it. It's been so great having you on, Bruce.
Thank you, Hannah. It's been a pleasure.
Hello, fellow patriots, and thank you all for watching today's episode. I would also like to thank the sponsor for this episode today, Dr. Stella MD. Many of you know Dr. Stella Emanuel as one of America's frontline doctors who has continually advocated for early treatment of COVID-19 and has been repeatedly falsely accused of misinformation and harassed by Big Pharma and the deep state to remain quiet. But she has never given up on speaking the truth, and her website, drstellamd.com, is an amazing spot to discover early treatment and prevention for COVID-19. You can find ways to get hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, set up telehealth appointments, and even order her new book, Let America Live. There are so many amazing patriot businesses in America today, and we all need to support them so that together we can both defund the deep state and refund the kingdom. Until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood patriot Hannah signing off, and remember to stay encouraged. Thank you for watching The Red Patriot Show. To find more of my content, resources, and where you can find all of my video platforms, as well as all the social media outlets I use, go to www.theredpatriotshow.com. That's www.theredpatriotshow.com. See y'all later.